Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by Auto Fair.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Next hour, as long as the power outage doesn't prevent it, our friend Dana White from the UFC will be in here, and there's a big UFC goings on tomorrow night at the Garden. So Dana will be here to talk about that. Tomorrow on the show, Julian Edelman of the New England Patriots. Monday, Tom Brady, Boomer Esiason, and on Wednesday of next week, Ken Tory Krug of the Boston Bruins on this program. So that's all coming up next week.
Can I bring up a how creepy is it question
from
on the show from a personal experience that I had?
Yes.
Because I think it might be good to maybe kind of issue a PSA to men out there about things that they do without realizing it that really creep women out a lot.
Fine. Yeah. Okay. As a public service, fine.
So I was out the other day having a conversation with a mutual friend, or a friend, and then a mutual acquaintance of ours came up in the middle of the conversation. This was not at work, and proceeded to give me an unsolicited, very close shoulder rub, and it was one
was
of those.
Was it Curtis?
It wasn't at work.
Joe Biden?
Nope. But that's basically the scenario where the guy sidled up behind me and kind of like pinched his shoulders on my traps, and I was like, who is this?
Larry the lawyer?
Nope. Larry would be a welcome massage.
Maybe the guy doesn't know. Obviously, the guy doesn't know that it's creepy.
Clearly. Clearly didn't. I don't think his intentions were to, you know, be, you know, inappropriate, but it was just one of those things where it makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and you're like, oh, God, please get your hands off me.
Well, you creep.
Yes.
But don't you think men do things in a nice way, and you guys turn it into being something that is creepy?
Unsolicited physical contact. Unless you're Tom Brady or Julian Edelman or right. Gronk, there's no way that can come across as not creepy. There's just no way.
Well, it's a mutual friend, though. Like you said,
it's a mutual acquaintance.
A mutual acquaintance.
Just because you're friends with someone doesn't mean I want you touching me and rubbing my various body parts.
Yeah.
I'd give you some kind of an indicator about, you know, what, like, you know, look at this, the 978 text. This happened to me recently. A guy that I kind of knew casually was touching my thigh while we were having a conversation.
That's not okay.
What do you mean? It's like they're sitting
awful.
Down. Huh?
That's awful.
I don't think everything. See, this is the thing is that you can't, if you're a guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no-win situation. If you want to have human, like, that's just human contact. Or maybe they were talking.
But wait for the indicator. Wait for us to give you some kind of window, like maybe we're interested, or like there's some kind of, you know, you get the eye contact, I lean the boob into the arm, anything.
Oh, arm boob is the best.
In today's day and age, though, Greg, you have to know that with the Me Too movement, you keep your hands as far away as possible.
Correct.
I mean. You've been warned. Every guy has been warned on the TV every night the last 2 years.
We're going to literally have to have, like, these energy shields or, like, indicator shields that say, like, hello, I am in a safe space so as to conduct a sex-free conversation with you. Good afternoon, madam.
I am a eunuch.
Here's a 774.
Unsullied.
Here's a 774 text that says Danielle is one of these women that thinks every guy is hitting on her.
Because they are.
No, is that the issue?
It's just it's uncomfortable because there's guys don't take the hint very well. So when you put it out, you put the vibe back that it's just like, dude, don't touch me. Like, what do you do? And they keep going and they keep pushing it. If you're not trying to hit on me, why are you rubbing my thigh in the middle of a conversation, Joe Biden?
But this is how you can't win. Like, here's a 401 text from Rhode Island where a woman is calling it creepy when a guy asks her if he can buy her a drink.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Why would I go to a hotel bar ever again under a pseudonym?
I mean, nobody. And by the way, a man, I would love that. Like, nobody.
Yeah, I don't take that as creepy.
Nobody ever asked me if they could buy me an espresso martini at Brico.
Really?
Which, by the way, I'm gonna make that my next beverage challenge. Is the best espresso martini in the confines of the city of Boston? Because I think Brico would win. I just posted about that on Instagram the other day. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Chris?
Well, I could relate to the conversation you got going on right now.
Yes.
I've been part of that conversation most of my life. I was raised by a family that did a lot of inappropriate hugging and touching, and we didn't understand that. You know, so I get it from that point. And I've had female friends tell me, and I've heard, like, the woman on this show say stuff like that. So today I'm aware of it. But I did it before, not to be creepy, but I was kind of raised that way. You hug your friends.
Yeah.
So I get it from both sides. And I'm in a lot of 12-step programs where we work on how do we get rid of resentments and stuff. And from the woman's perspective, don't sit there silently angry at a potential friend. Bring it up. You don't have to bring it up and scream it or call the person, the words she's doing now. You know, her part in the problem is not saying something. So, 'cause not everybody's trying to be creepy when they do that.
No, I think there are people who are huggers.
I'm a hugger, but I'll gauge the temperature of the other person. If I can tell that they're not a contact person, I'm not going to go in for a hug. I'll go in for the handshake.
Correct. But the problem is we don't always know. And again, I get this all the time. I'm in 12-step programs where you shake hands and hug and you're sharing coffee and later on maybe you share stories. And what I found out is there's so many more people that I was unaware of that didn't want those hugs. Today I ask, but only because people told me. Otherwise, I'd still be a guy lovingly hugging his friends and some of them loving that, but other ones really being turned off and feeling molested.
But it's hypocritical. It's hypocritical, I think, when Danielle and other women say the unsolicited shoulder rub.
You have a shoulder rub?
That's impressive.
Would be okay if it were Julian Edelman.
Well, I'm just saying,
you're
not
such
for me,
a hypocrite.
But that's what it is. It's the age-old thing if the guy's hot.
So if it's like what if it's like Chuck Woolery, like a handsome 70-year-old? Can he come in like, hello, I'm a game show host. Might I rub your shoulders for 200?
Then I'm hoping he's just not in a functioning space anymore.
Can you judge anyone, though, Danielle, if it's like if they are, let's say, 65 and up? Can't you just like, this is the only thrill he's going to get today?
The threshold is 80+.
80?
Yep, it's 80.
Oh, come on.
How old's Joe Biden?
76.
Yeah.
Here's a 781 text from a woman who recently had a guy block the door when they were talking.
Oh, that is the worst.
But that.
Well, you can't get past them. So what are you supposed to do? Because then you look like a bitch if you say, get out of my way. Or please move your arm.
You're blocked.
They give you the attitude. Like, if you're gonna physically stand in front of an individual... So that they have a conversation with you. God, that's aggressive, Brad.
That's a crime. That's
teetering. Small talk on its own is a crime.
100%, buddy. High five.
What? Not a fan of small
talk?
Jesus. Awful.
That's why Curtis and I get along so well in the workplace. All we talk about is the office, and that's it.
Well, and then everything he says on the show, you immediately cackle over and laugh.
I know.
I mean,
he's a funny guy. I mean,
how creepy is that?
Did you see the shoulder rub he gave her earlier this morning, too?
Thigh looks great.
Everyone knows the thigh is the best meat.
I don't know. I guess so. So
juicy.
I mean, so what you're saying is that when you called it a public service message, is that men, they don't know they're being creepy,
right.
But they're being creepy.
I would like you to be aware of things that you do sometimes that are innocuous in your minds that perhaps you think are a non-issue. Like, where did that text go? 781 text. This guy would not leave me alone. He knows I have a boyfriend, so he kept asking me out on a date.
Well, that's persistence. That's not creepy.
Yeah, but like, if she's not into it, she's just because she doesn't have a boyfriend doesn't mean she's going to fall on the sword with you.
But isn't that giving it the old college try?
Yeah, can I touch it?
We call that rebranding, Greg. It's typically stalking. We may just call it persistence now.
There's a point at which you have to back off and understand that, like, okay, she doesn't want to go on a date with you. Like, leave it alone. You keep asking me, like, hey, I know you don't have a boyfriend, so how about Saturday we go do... No.
Well, but how many times do you say that when it's not true in order to avoid talking to a guy? Like, you're basically lying. You're being disingenuous.
What? Lying how?
Saying, hey, I got a boyfriend.
No, but this is when the guy knows you don't have a boyfriend.
I mean, it's...
And you're open about it. You're like, yeah, no, I don't have a boyfriend, but I don't want to go out with you. And they don't take the hint.
This is Jim from Rhode Island. What's up, Jim?
Yes, my question is for Danielle. That's your first name, right?
Yes, it is, James.
Okay, so not that I would mind a boob to the arm, but what's the difference between a boob to the arm and me touching your thigh?
I'm not talking about an unsolicited arm boob brush. I'm talking about one in which you're already kind of in a flirtatious engagement. That's what I was referring to.
No, you, that's not what, well, you didn't refer to that. If I put my hand on your thigh, what's the difference between that and you putting your boob on my arm?
I'm not just going to randomly walk up. First of all, what guy is going to be upset about that? Let's be honest. Second of all, it's a complete double standard. But it's a complete double standard. But I'm not just going to walk up to a random dude and brush my boob up against him. That's going to be in the course of an active flirtation situation.
What's the difference?
There is no difference.
Similar situation.
Okay, so why is it?
So if the guys, then what you guys are telling me when you say why don't the women speak up? So if the guy's offended, he should tell me don't put your breast on my arm.
But no guy's gonna ever be offended.
Thank you.
That.
So it's a double standard. It's a huge double standard.
It's the first request I make at every massage parlor.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, can I have all arm boob, please?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I want. Arm boob.
Some handy candy. I mean. Here's somebody who was raised in the South, 727 text, and it is normal to refer to women my age or younger as sweetie or honey, and I get berated about that all the time.
I don't know why people get so butthurt about that, because I'm a pet name person. I call everyone sweetie, doll, honey, love, darling.
So you don't care if a guy calls you honey? I mean, I think it's kind of demeaning.
If he does it in a condescending tone, like he's like, oh, you work for a sports station, honey?
Yeah.
That'd be, I'd be like, oh, you're kind of a prick.
But what about like a guy?
But if a guy's just like, oh, thanks, hun. Or hey, honey. Or
what about
like,
toots?
That's fine. Yes. Yeah, I don't care. That doesn't bother me.
What about bowling ball? That's not appropriate.
I have two.
That's not appropriate.
What about thunder thighs?
No, I don't. If you're going to use a pet name type thing and call me, you know, sweetie or hun, that doesn't bother me at all. I wish more people did that, actually.
This is Mike. Mike, what's up?
Hey, you know, the problem is all these romantic comedies when you have the ugly guy with the hot girl, and at first they can't stand him and they fall in love with him. That only happens in the movies, not in real life.
That is such a good point, Mike. Such a good point.
So it's the rom-coms.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, the ugly guy continues to be persistent, and he finally lands Mila Kunis.
Right.
And that's encouraging men to keep it up and keep trying.
That is correct.
That's called Mondays on CBS.
I think the touching, the one the texter brought up about touching the woman's thigh during a serious discussion, I need more information, because if they're friends and they're having like an intimate discussion and it, What?
About reports at work?
No, not. Did they say it was a coworker?
No,
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just. Maybe he ended up just being like trying to comfort her. Or something
Lacey,
like
did
that.
You upload that to my hard drive?
Oh.
Here's a text asking whether I felt violated by Gronk, and yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy was too into it.
He was manhandling it.
I mean, what kind of what kind of a man wants to massage another man? I heard a lot of talk about this on the radio station the other day. I mean, what kind of a person wants to have fun and massage another man?
How dare you?
I heard it was going to be in your resume now.
Yes, it is. You are correct, Curtis.
I checked your LinkedIn. It's your new profile photo.
Yes, it is. The highlight of my career. Highlight of my life.
Yeah. Looks great on your Grindr account.
Highlight of my life. All right. If you would like to call and be on the show at any point this morning, 617 877-973-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
Later today, Michael Irvin joins Dale and Keith. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the Nines today. Try their garlic parmesan, chicken mac and cheese, one of their nine real size entrees for just $9.99. A great deal available all day, every day. The 99, always the real deal. You remember Demaryius Thomas?
Yes.
He was here for a little while. Almost made the team. Got cut on August 31st. Then came back to the Patriots, then got cut again when Antonio Brown was signed. He's popped off now to the New York Daily News, called his time in New England insulting.
Oh.
He said, I could have came to the Jets after they cut me the first time and not stayed there and re-signed. When they re-signed me, I was thinking I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. They kicked me to the curb and shipped me out like I'm a rookie. So, getting ready for the Patriots-Jets Monday night. He made it silent in the first meeting of the year, Fitzy, but not this second time.
Anyone want to bet me a beverage that he catches a touchdown Monday night because they're going to try to force him the ball?
You think so?
Yeah.
Bulletin board material, I guess. One way or the other, Patriots will get back to the practice field today. Roger Goodell met with the media at the owners' meetings in Florida yesterday. He was asked about officiating. Here was his response about the state of the officiating in the league.
Well, officiating is always a focus for us, and I joke, but I'm not joking. I think I'm close to 40 years, and I think there's always a 2 or 3 week period where there's an intense focus on it. But listen, you never want to see a game where people are talking about officials afterwards.
So it's just a 2 or 3 week spell. Nothing to worry about, according to Roger Goodell.
Goodell's listen is Charlie Baker's look, or any other politician's look. You know, Joe Biden said it the other night when they were asking him about how old he was. If you start with look, people think you're serious.
You know, you mean business.
Well, let's be honest. I hear that one a lot.
Yeah, but listen is also like this. Listen. Like the same thing is, it's basically, you're indicating that they haven't been listening to anything that you said at all before, but now you've got to listen to this because here's the really important thing that I'm going to tell you. And so basically the commissioner believes that for a couple weeks every year people complain about
the normal, officiating. This is normal whining,
Well, what about the playoffs last year? I mean, was there an entire NFL franchise that was robbed of a potential appearance?
Oh no!
In a Super Bowl due to a call? Was there anything like that last year? Was that
asking
1 week
for some friends that have a fleur-de-lis on their helmet? Seriously, one man has screwed up the NFL worse than anyone else, and it's not the ginger-haired douche knocker on 345 Park Ave. It's Nicole Roby Coleman. That guy ruined football for everybody.
All right, three games tonight. Which draws the better ratings in Boston? Yankees, Astros, Bruins. Bruins, Tampa. Yeah, that's the one local team.
Bruins.
All right, how about between Yankees, Astros, and Chiefs, Broncos?
Chiefs, Broncos, not even close.
Bingo.
Yeah, nobody's watching the baseball.
Not the Yankees hate?
Red Sox love. How can there be Yankees
hate? That series
hate?
Is over.
Stop.
The series
is
over.
It is not over.
It's over.
Tanaka's going tonight. Yeah, they're going to even the series at two.
Professor Toru Tanaka? No.
Yep.
An extra day of rest for Verlander and for Greinke and for Cole. Three potential Hall of Famers on that staff with an extra day of rest. Bye-bye.
Greinke lost game one.
Start playing the news.
When are you going to understand that the interest in the game is waning? I mean,
it is not waning. You go to the Fan Fest at Foxwoods in a couple months, and you'll see people from all over New England, rabid baseball fans. This is a fake narrative, false news.
The Red Sox are interviewing downstairs Joe for GM.
They want a fifth GM. What's wrong with that?
There's nobody who wants that job.
We're following the Entercom model.
There's nobody who wants that job.
You're saying this is all a great tease that they're waiting to name the GM?
We're going to be the new play-by-play booth for Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN.
There's nobody who wants that job.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
I've been in those meetings before when, you know, players have those arguments with their, because you don't do it in team meeting room. You don't, sometimes it's in the defensive meeting room or the offensive meeting room, but a lot of times it happens in the positional meeting rooms when players, you feel more comfortable in a smaller setting and you just let it all out. But it can't be just an argument, because the last time I saw a player and a coach have a philosophical, you know, difference. It was when Junior Seau and Pepper Johnson were chest to chest and were about to throw blows. That's the philosophical difference that I know. When somebody's in somebody's face or somebody's got their hand on somebody's throat and something physical happens. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but to just have that philosophical difference and an argument and you're suspended for a week, it's got to be a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. I think there could have been something going on.
Teddy Bruschi on OMF yesterday afternoon. I caught that interview and I thought it was really good. I guess the speculation would be that Bill Belichick is unlikely to suspend guys for some kind of a verbal confrontation. So there must have been something physical that happened. Is that where we're going with this? Is that what everybody is concerned about?
Yes. There is chaos in the locker room. No, I think that, you know, Teddy later in the interview discussed with those guys about a situation with Junior Seau and Pepper Johnson.
Yeah.
That he said, you know, basically connecting the dots that this had to be more than some disagreement about playing time. It had to be something, you know, aggressive from Bennett.
Maybe is Lou listening?
Maybe, I think so.
Maybe this relates to Malcolm Butler in some way.
I think it
do you
does.
Think
it,
do you,
Bennett
do you
had
that's
the
when
Patriots.
Everything was, we were do, all getting along,
think,
Greg.
Do you think that Michael Bennett was demanding some kind of an answer on why Malcolm
had the Patriots
Butler
minus
didn't play
three
in
that game?
Super Bowl?
Lou.
Maybe that's what was going on. I mean, Lou wants an answer on that. And
I talked to the governor before he was on. He was interested about Malcolm Butler.
The governor.
They've had more contentious dialogues, debates, and arguments. For God's sakes, once every other season, Tom Brady gets in a shouting match of epic proportions on the field with his coordinator.
Yeah.
Josh, Bill O'Brien. He doesn't get suspended, fined, or reprimanded for that.
Okay, so you think something worse happened then?
I think Michael Bennett is a powder keg ready to go off. The problem is you have to weigh, is this guy who's been in the news for the wrong reasons before but is incredibly talented on the field worth keeping around knowing he could explode at any moment?
And the answer seems to be
maybe.
Maybe.
Super good at rushing the passer, fantastic defender even at an advanced age, but he carries a high price tag, and the value you're going to get back for him at this point, you're looking at a quarter on the dollar tops.
I'd just like to reiterate my lead from yesterday. This is Bill Belichick's fault. He's bringing in Michael Bennett's and Antonio Brown's, and this is what happened. You've got stuff happening in meeting rooms that has never happened before with the franchise, and Belichick the GM getting in the way of Belichick the coach.
I think Belichick the GM in terms of player selection is fantastic. However, his cap management this year, not great, Bob. Not great.
No?
Not great, Bob. Nope.
Well, but that's really because of AB.
Yeah, it's we tossed Demaryius Thomas to the side, considering how talent challenged the Patriots are at receiver now. Demaryius Thomas, a veteran wideout playing the X, would probably be reasonably valuable in Foxborough right now. But instead, we'll play opposite him Monday night because someone had to shame someone in a group text about $700 for a painting. Idiot. He really Idiot. Did screw everything. He almost made this season amazing, and then he screwed it up. It's so
you're
annoying.
Angry. You are angry at him.
I'm not. I'm pissed. Yeah, I am. I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Well, so is Demaryius Thomas, and now this is going to get around the league. That Belichick is just careless. You know, he's just what do you call him? Merciless. I mean, he just he's going to go on
that
the next
news,
guy.
Ken.
Well, for a while it seemed like there were a lot of players that wanted to come here and be part of it because they knew they could win. But now it's back to the old narrative, which is just you could get cut at any moment and they're cold.
The last line in the piece from the New York Daily News: lesson learned. Trust is a myth in Foxborough.
And if the quarterback doesn't want to be here, what kind of message does that send? I mean, Fitzy's take yesterday was he's going to be in Tennessee.
I said it was a 1% more chance
more likely.
There,
you
Professor
said more likely.
Pittsburgh.
You said you were rooting hard for Brady to go to Tennessee.
I know.
It's kind of weird.
I know. Who pays you to make up these hot takes and lies? Is it downstairs Joe, upstairs Joe? Or
Mutt.
Okay, Mutt. Thank you. Mutt.
Well, I mean, do you believe that there was a physical altercation? Do you believe that? So we were talking earlier. Belichick has suspended Terry Glenn.
Correct.
And anybody?
Adelis Thomas was late. He said he's not a member of the Jetsons in the middle of a snowstorm.
Right.
I don't think he was suspended. I think
he was sent home. No, he was sent home.
He was sent home.
And Welker missed the first offensive series against the Jets in the AFC divisional round playoff in 2011.
And that
that's
cost
it.
Us.
That's it in 20 years. That's it. So you would assume that something really egregious had to happen.
Right. I think what happened is actually Michael Bennett went into Bill's office and demanded an answer on Malcolm Butler, and Belichick said, you're suspended for a week. Stop asking.
Yes.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, he could have popped off about the president or something. Michael Bennett is a very socially active guy. You've got Trump guys within the organization. There are taboo things you could even say in around the facility.
We're speculating.
Why is that out of the question?
He said something about Donald Trump and Bill Belichick suspended him?
Or Orchids of Asia Day Spa and Robert Kraft suspended him? I mean, this.
Now, Danielle, could you do me a favor on the next break? Could you check to see if there's a company that tests for lead?
Yes.
Because I legitimately think Ken is sick.
Oh, well, yeah. Trump is not divisive.
Are you kidding? If you're Michael Bennett and you are used to being a focal point, a centerpiece of defenses, and all of a sudden now you not only have to play a new role, setting the edge, defending the run, holding the line more when you're used to trying to penetrate gaps and get after the quarterback, that's weird. And when you can see the writing on the wall and your name's not Daniel and you realize, oh, they're trying to phase me out potentially to see if Winovich and Calhoun and Wise can do my job and ship me out so they can cut some cap and maybe get a receiver, you'd probably mouth off.
Yeah, but mouthing off does not see. So you're telling me that nobody has ever mouthed off down there before to a coach? You just heard Teddy Bruschi say that Junior Seau did it.
Right. Junior Seau is somebody who'd played here for years and earned his stripes.
So he earned the right to mouth off to Pepper Johnson.
Belichick had incredible respect for him. It could have started at mouthing off, and it could have gone a little further. Maybe. We're talking a little arm boob.
What does Belichick say? So he's going to be asked about this at Gillette. 11:45, I believe, is his press conference. They'll have it on Dale and Keith. Is he just say, best for the team?
Bingo.
How many follow-ups? I think he might storm out this morning. It might be an interesting scene with his questioning about Michael Bennett.
Was Revis sent home? A texter said that Darrell Revis was sent home, but I don't
believe there was I believe that there was a late to practice and a send home one day. But actually, the underlying conspiracy theory on that was always Revis was getting tired legs as the season progressed. That's why they didn't spend money on him. So that was player management. Just like that was like snap reps for managing time with Tom Brady.
And that was in 2014 reported for being late to practice. Yeah.
Yep.
Jonas Gray missed the Monday meeting.
He slept in shortly after scoring 4 touchdowns on Sunday Night Football against the Colts. And was never the same. Never got his one-time starting rollback.
Yeah.
Remember Jonas Gray? That's a great throwback Thursday mention, Greg.
Ken, we know you hate the Patriots, but this is nonsense.
What's nonsense? It's all speculation. I mean, I guess if you don't just take Michael Bennett at his word that it was between he and his position coach, philosophical disagreement.
He's saying Thomas is a below-average wide receiver at this point, so stop.
Okay, now now we can. Ken, do you live near or under high tension power lines?
Of course.
And are they down this morning?
Yeah, they are down this morning. And are they down this morning?
So does nobody have to work around here today? I'm guessing that it's only the on-air people, right? Because
correct.
The power's out.
Yeah, an email went out from our boss Mark Cannon this morning saying if you're not essential.
Why can't people come in and work in the daylight? Like what?
They
like
probably
what,
want to keep people away from the building so the engineers can work. I don't know.
What?
Oh, come on.
Keep people away from the building so the engineers can work.
Are they afraid they're going to choke on balloons?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, speaking of, I can't believe I did not bring this up yet. Speaking of banning things, and we were talking earlier about the bill that is in front of our marvelous elected legislature, which would ban all balloons in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts so that no kid could ever have a fun birthday party ever again or nobody could throw a water balloon. In Florida, they are about to pass a law which would require a prescription for sunscreen.
This is it.
They've done it in a couple of other places.
Doesn't make it right.
Well, the argument is, just so people know, is that there are some ingredients in certain sunscreens that are very harmful to coral reefs, and they can cause bleaching and kill a lot of marine life.
What?
So what this proposal basically says is the state senator that's proposing this, Linda Stewart in Florida, said that any sunscreens that use oxybenzone and one other chemical would require a prescription And the hope is that there would be sunscreens without those products that would make their way to store shelves.
Is there a prescription required for the sun? Because the sun is a hell of a lot more dangerous than the sunscreen is to the coral reef.
Well,
is the coral reef alive?
Yes, it is alive.
Yes, it is. I know. It's a living, breathing organ. I know. Can it talk?
It's
the Brita of the ocean.
It's the what?
It's the Brita of the ocean.
What do you mean?
It acts like a filter. It's like your kidneys in a lot of ways. No, well, hold on.
I know you want to kill all the
absurd
stuff everywhere, Greg, but these are things that are important to our
Danielle,
ecosystem.
Greg already has a 3-bedroom on Mars already. We're not worried about that.
Heartless like Belichick. Jesus.
All right, look, I've swam in when you're making marinara, the meatballs make a little grease on top. I've swam in plenty of oceans where I see a little bit of the old spaghetti sauce grease on top from sunscreens. Mm-hmm. It's a natural byproduct of humans going to the beach, but you're not going to be able to stop everybody and make them get prescriptions for sunscreen.
No,
you know what comes without a prescription? Clothes.
And we can't even get those
God.
On people.
God.
At some point, you have to acknowledge that humans are a more developed organism than animals, bugs, seafood, and I include the food part.
Yes.
And the coral reef. Therefore, a choice at some point has to be made. I know it really upsets you, and you go into the corner and you cry in the fetal position. But at some point,
with recycled tissues. That's not code.
At some point, you have to make a decision that the health of humans with regard to putting sunscreen on is more important than the health of the coral reef.
But you have to understand and take a deeper look. It's not just the coral reef is alive and we're killing it with sunscreen. The coral reef has a direct impact on your life in what it does for marine organisms. Coral reefs also protect coastlines from things like wave damage and tropical storms. So you're sitting there saying, humans are really developed, but I don't think you understand how these things play into our ecosystem, wherein if they disappeared, it would be a problem.
We're losing our mind.
We are losing our collective.
Sorry that some of us give a crap.
We have to live with the consequences.
I blame dumb people. No, just seriously. You know what? Wait 5 minutes after you put your sunscreen on so your skin absorbs, as opposed to like, hey, Tyler, Ted, Tom, Brady, Gronk, hold on before y'all jump in the water there.
Unless
how close is your main house to the beach?
How is that pertinent to this discussion? It's near it.
Because things like coral reefs help protect the coastline. If they don't exist, there could be a problem wherein the water, like the Obama's house is going to disappear in a few years on Martha's Vineyard.
There are no coral, I don't think there are coral reefs in Maine.
Probably not. No, I don't know. But
it's Australia. That's why they enacted this. And there's more coral reef off the coast of Florida than there is here. We have to worry more about shacks than we have to worry about dead reef around this way.
You know more about cork and coral reefs than you do about the New England Patriots, which is shocking to me.
Can you believe that more goes on in my head besides the Patriots? Isn't this weird? It's like I went to college and I'm an active Ken. That's the last sound you'll hear on Earth as I beat you to death with dead reef.
Jeez, starting violence to me and Danielle.
HR. Yeah. HR. Oh, they didn't show up today. Today's the perfect day to do it.
You'll be getting an email later.
When you feel the arm boob, Ken, that's the signal.
That's it.
There's a lot of people who think that I'm ignorant and I should watch Our Planet on Netflix because the coral reef is a huge contributor to us staying alive. So,
if you want to keep getting those seafood towers at Ocean Prime.
Well, what about the conch fritters?
There you go.
I mean, if this means that I can't get myself a good conch fritter, then I may have to say yay on the prescriptions for sunscreen.
It's 8:57. You've got 1, 2, 3. You've got 4 more conch mentions remaining this morning, and then you're out.
Right. Conch fritters, really?
Conch fritters, yep. Conch fritters, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
believe that we have yet to address the breaking Yacht Rock news, which is ruining your life.
This is the worst. Mike Hsu, our former producer and coworker at the other station, tweeted this at me last night. And I made the mistake of looking at the tweet right before I went to bed. And there was no context. It was just a tag and an article link. And I was like, all right, what the hell is this? Toto, according to guitarist Steve Lukather, will not be playing any more shows for the foreseeable future. Now, they're playing tomorrow night at Foxwoods, and I'm not able to go to the show. So I was like, all right, usually they wind up booking a show at like the Lynn Auditorium in the fall. So I was hoping that maybe that would happen. But Steve did an interview, I think, with Morning Call and said that they would not be doing any more shows after the Philly show, which I think is Sunday. No more shows for the foreseeable future.
Ever?
Especially not in this current configuration of Toto. And I'm shook.
Your favorite band of all time?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Fortunate to have been able to see them live as many times as I have, especially at small venues where I can stand right up in front of the stage. However, I'm crushed.
What is, like, personnel issue? Like, they don't get along? Or, like, what? Like,
I was trying to read between the lines. I think they're just probably tired.
Well, they've been playing together
forever.
For, like, what, 30 years, 40 years?
God, forever. And, I mean, how many times can you really play Africa? The well, live maybe. Version of Africa, though, is ridiculous.
But there are bands that go out and do that every night when it comes to their hit songs, and then they don't worry about it.
There's got to be some kind of infighting or something.
I heard they were breaking up because they were unhappy with Michael Bennett's role in the defense. are you more Africa over Rosanna?
I do love Rosanna. Hold the Line, I think, is probably one of my top tracks, as is Hydra and. But I mean, Africa is always a good go-to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Africa is, that's a song that has been utilized in entertainment.
Yeah.
Constantly.
To death.
I had a discussion the other day. We don't have time for it right now. About the greatest soundtrack of all time when it comes to film.
Oh.
Ooh.
And we don't have time. I don't even want to start it, but at some point we probably should have the discussion, because when you start to think about them,
Nick,
I got 20 off the top of my. Don't do this, because we'll be here. We'll be here well into the middle of Dale and Keith.
You have 20 off the top.
I can name like 10 right off the top of my head that are all timers.
All Tarantino movies?
No, but Pulp Fiction merits significant consideration.
What would you have on your, just give me your top five.
Footloose, Top Gun, Saturday Night
Fever. Footloose
is an incredible soundtrack.
Okay,
so much Kenny Loggins even in just those top two.
So wait a minute, you have Footloose.
I would have Top Gun. I would have Saturday Night Fever. That's probably number one.
That's number one?
And a sneaky great soundtrack, Boogie Nights.
Ooh.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Boogie Nights was so good, they had a second one.
Boogie Nights' use of Sister Christian is extraordinary.
Maybe one of the best uses of music in film, period.
You want a Rolling Stones top five soundtracks of all time?
See what you did?
Saturday Night Fever, A Hard Day's Night, The Harder They Come, Purple Rain, and Help.
Oh, that's because it's Rolling Stone. I will grant them Purple Rain.
Okay,
but how could you not with Prince? I mean, I don't know if that's.
Can you just throw us two bones, two Hillman top tens maybe?
Well, I certainly would have said Boogie Nights, because I do feel like that is a great soundtrack, and I would say The Wrestler. Because of the Bruce Springsteen song so much.
I love that song so much.
And I would say Philadelphia because of the Bruce Springsteen.
Jesus. No.
I don't know. It's a hard. I mean, I'll tell you this. I think Forrest Gump has a great soundtrack.
Terrific soundtrack. Cornucopia of American hits, but those ones in the '80s, right there, like you said, Danielle. A Kenny Loggins seems to be the recurring theme.
Yes.
And just think back when you were growing up, depending on whether you were either trying to get into the Camaro, wanted to sneak a ride in your brother's Fiero. What I mean, these were just the hits of the 80s, song after song. These are all ones that are just populated by number one hits, Greg.
What about Singles? A texter says the film Singles.
Oof.
That's from the soundtrack. That's from the 90s. Yeah.
93.
But that... What's on that?
It's all grunge rock.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like America's first getting to second base with grunge rock was the single soundtrack.
Pearl Jam, Mudhoney, Alice in Chains, Chris Cornell,
right.
Mother yeah. Love Bone.
Good recent one, Guardians of the Galaxy had a great 70s soundtrack on it.
Ken, we're dating
again.
No, we're dating again. That was a phenomenal soundtrack. Awesome. It's a great, great soundtrack.
I loved Armageddon's soundtrack. I thought it was phenomenal.
Are you being serious?
That's the single worst song to ever go to number one from a soundtrack. I wished an asteroid crashed into me after I heard that song and watched that movie. God. Oh, God. Curtis, you just ruined Thursday.
What about The Departed? Pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
What do you mean, it was good?
It was good.
Great. Clerks? You love Clerks.
They're good. Those are all good ones. I would like if they popped up on the Spotify or the Apple Music, I wouldn't say get off my device, but Boogie Nights, too. Think about that. Like, you got, like, the Commodores. You got Sexy Thing on there. Like, it's just a walk down 70s memory lane. But Ken's right, though. If you had to pick a certain someone who has curated the best soundtracks, it has to be Tarantino.
Remember the Titans, pretty good. A lot of pop music. You know, Ain't No Mountain High Enough or whatever. There's some good stuff on that.
Sneaky good recent soundtrack, Creed.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Vision Quest.
Oh.
Madonna.
Wow.
That's from a texter.
All the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
For that matter.
I don't think you
Rocky
can include like
Rocky
this. 4. This texter is saying Dirty Dancing. I mean, the movie was kind of about, it was about music and dancing. I mean, there's some good music on there, but I don't know if you can include that or not.
Are we concerned at all that there aren't a lot of recent soundtracks that are making it on there and that we're just like living in 80s and 90s?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because, like, oh, where's that new soundtrack with, like, the Biebs on it and other bands I can't name because I don't listen to modern music? Right.
The Big Chill, obviously.
Yeah.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, pretty good. The Cars on it. So this is what I'm saying. This is why I didn't bring it up, is because you could go on and on and on. I don't remember. This texter is saying Blow has a really good, I mean, it's a great movie, but I don't remember if the soundtrack is really good or not. That's the thing, is I think you have to remember specific scenes. Like, you remember Fortunate Son when you're thinking about Forrest Gump. You remember exactly where, also I think Fortunate Son is also in Apocalypse Now.
Right.
Apocalypse Now has a pretty good.
That's where the Departed soundtrack comes in, because you remember exactly that song.
Yes.
I apologize. Saturday Night Fever is the second greatest soundtrack of all time to me. The greatest is the Blues Brothers. The Blues Brothers.
But does that count? That's a movie.
It's like their own music.
It's not only is it a lot of it their own. Well, there's Aretha Franklin on there. How about the use of Ride of the Valkyries when they run the Illinois Nazis off the bridge?
Yeah.
One of the great scenes of all time, and I hate Illinois Nazis.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, man.
What's up, Brian?
You guys are leaving out two of the best. You guys talked about with Brady about Remember the Titans. That soundtrack is unbelievable.
Yes, I just mentioned that, but probably while you were on hold. What else?
Oh, you did? Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Apologize. And then the fact that Springsteen wrote Philadelphia for Tom Hank, who you don't like,
yes,
was genius.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give credit to Bruce. He's pretty good when it comes to the soundtracks. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a dark horse from my friend Scopa.
Scoper.
American Hustle.
Oh yes.
Really good movie.
Yes.
And really, what are you looking like that, Nick?
American Hustle.
You didn't think that was
with Bradley Cooper.
You didn't think that was a good movie?
Yeah, it's a good movie. If I like stuff that other people told me I should like, that's actually crap.
Did
that movie come with an espresso martini?
I thought that was impressive. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Smells a little.
No, I can't wait until we have the drinks my wife loves contest on the show.
Okay, here we go. No, shaming me because I like espresso martinis. It's like shaming an NHL player for working at Tim Hortons. Job shaming. It's like job shaming Donald Brashear.
I'll stop.
Ken, what was you? What? Remind me of your lead on that. Do you think it's okay to job shame?
It was not job shaming. It's news. It's newsworthy. A millionaire athlete who's now taking a probably minimum wage job. I guess he's got a buddy who owns the company or whatever or that location. But still,
he's
in big trouble. You got a former fighter who's in trouble for probably various reasons. I'm sure CTE is included in there somewhere. And they spot him at a Tim Hortons. That's not a newsworthy piece. So what's wrong with the headline?
I don't understand what's newsworthy about it, other than you're saying, so he, I mean, how long did he play in the NHL? 8 years?
Oh, a long time.
But longer than that? 10 years?
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Look up and see how much he made as an NHL enforcer. And then I give the man credit for going to work at a Tim Hortons, having played in the NHL for many years.
$13 million.
How much?
$13 million, according to Cap Friendly.
19 seasons.
Wow.
19 seasons, $13 million. And
he's broke. And he's working at a Tim Hortons? That's not worthy of a headline?
Montreal Gazette wrote a story about former Patriots tight end slumming it on the radio on WEA.
I saw Antoine Walker working at a Cumberland Farms last week. I got my large ice with some hazelnut, right. and he did the shake.
And then Delonte West came in and robbed it.
Well, you're going to joke on that.
Wow. Wow.
But what?
But Antoine was playing in the D League. That was a big story. People were like, oh, this guy's roughing it in a sub-league. You know, yeah, Ramirez playing in Japan or whatever.
Yeah, I just think that, like, leave the guy alone. I get it. Was it a complimentary? I guess I need to know, was it a complimentary?
It was just sort of fact-based. Like, here's Donald Brashear.
Here's Donald Brashear, who went through all his money in the NHL, and now he has to work at Tim Hortons. I mean, I don't know. That's a headline in a Canadian
newspaper.
People just
want to blame the news and the media for everything. This is the Trumpification.
Greg, three entries, and I know we don't have time for it, but recently, I apologize, Black Panther should have been mentioned. That's a phenomenal soundtrack. 20 years ago, High Fidelity, great movie, great soundtrack.
Great movie.
I love that. I could rewatch that. They could have the High Fidelity channel. I would watch it.
The dad looking for the Stevie Wonder record. I just called to say I love you scene in the record store is top notch.
When we all fell in love with Jack Black when he sings Let's Get It On.
And I realized again that I cannot stand John Cusack.
Oh, you forgot.
Yes. Is he in your Tom Hanks category?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Worse, for other reasons.
And the Wayback Machine, my pal Jay reminded me, American Graffiti, phenomenal soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. American Graffiti, great soundtrack. And, of course, you have to mention The Graduate. Yeah, obviously you have to mention The Graduate.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to. All right. Anyway. Should you want to call and be a part of the show today, 617-779-7937 is the number, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. Coming up, we will be joined in the studio, weather allowing, by Dana White from the UFC, old friend of the old show and new friend of the new show. Dana White will be in here. Big event coming up in the city tomorrow night. We'll talk to Dana about that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.